Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show. What's going on, everyone? Josh here. Got a little something different for you today. So here's what's going on. We have had an absolutely crazy couple weeks. Last week, there was a lot going on with church stuff, and I was moving and then serving at a Bible camp. And this week, my schedule cleared up, but then Jack, his schedule absolutely hit the ceiling, and his wife got sick. She's fine. She's doing good. She's fine, but it required Jack to kind of be on full dad duty there and taking care of her. And you know what? It just didn't work out to record an ep. And instead of having 2 weeks go by without an episode, I wanted to at least make sure that there was something in the feed for you guys this morning, because we're radio professionals. It's what we do. But yeah, just wanted to let you guys know that the Reformatory is not going anywhere. We're still here. We're good. It's just been a strange couple weeks in terms of schedules, and trying to get them to align has just been exceedingly difficult, more difficult than normal. I think, you know, we have a regular routine where we record and get together and do stuff, and when that gets disrupted, it's hard to shift schedules around to where you can, you know, make something happen. So it was difficult this week, but like I said, wanted to at least give you guys something in the feed today. So when this releases, it's going to be July 4th. So happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July. Hope that you're going to be getting together with family, hopefully church family, maybe a little in there. Get some barbecue, maybe go swimming, light some fireworks off. Hopefully don't start any fireworks. And as my grandpa always used to tell me, any 4th of July that you walk away from with the same amount of fingers is a good 4th of July. So that would be my encouragement to you, is to make sure that in all of your celebrations, make sure to throw the M80s far away and try not to hold them when they go off. Okay. Believe me, not fun. But, yeah, just wanted to, give you guys just something in the feed. It'll just be a quick thing, just some thoughts that I was kind of running around my head this week, especially in light of, man, all of the things that have been going on just in our country over the past couple weeks with the elections and all the political stuff ramping up. We got 4th of July. Kind of the state of affairs of our nation has really kind of been on my mind a lot this week. And I think it's just because it's kind of just at the forefront of pretty much every social media outlet and news. They're all talking about those things, so it's kind of hard to escape. So even for guys like me who, I would say, probably to a fault, try to avoid current events, it is pretty much inescapable. So, but I was just, you know, with all these things that are going on right now in our country, and it being the 4th of July coming up, I just found myself really contemplating and thinking through, how do I, as a Christian, and especially I, as, you know, someone who's in the leadership of a local church, how do I interact with these things that are happening in the culture? And how do I encourage the believers that I am responsible for shepherding, as well as just, you know, friends, other believers that I come in contact to? What are some things that I want to encourage them in? And I think there's whenever you look on social media, and again, social media, I don't think is a great barometer of truth, but it does reflect some part of reality, right? I think there's a danger with these types of topics to fall on one side of the ditch or the other, right? And I think that one side of the ditch is that you're all in. You're all in politically. Everything about yourself kind of turns into this, almost this machine that is really involved. You're signing the petitions, you're sharing the posts, you're really involved with the political debates and the candidates and things like that, and you encourage other people to do that as well. And I think, you know, I think we tend to see that from some people who perhaps have a certain eschatology, for sure. I think eschatology plays a lot into it, but I don't think that that's it. I think that some people are just much more politically minded, and they lean that way, right? So I think that's one side of the argument, and I do have issues with that. I think that it can tend to lean into civilian affairs and becoming distracted from the main things that we're supposed to do. Now, the other side of the ditch is something that I have been very, I'll say becoming acutely aware that I struggle with, and that is completely throwing the hands up and disregarding it whatsoever. And I don't think necessarily either one is helpful or right. But I think scripture really does help us to kind of give us those guardrails to make sure that we're not going into either the ditch on either side. And as always, scripture is our authority. I believe scripture is sufficient, and I believe scripture speaks to even these things. So, you know, as I was thinking through all the political stuff that's going on, all the debates, and 4th of July is coming up, which, you know, is a fun holiday, but it also, it's a very political holiday. It's one that has a lot of connotations about, you know, freedom and freedom of speech and all the amendments and, you know, all of the things that are wrapped into it. It got me thinking, particularly about how do we as Christians interact with the culture? How do we do that? And I think scripture does a good job at helping provide some of those guardrails, right? And I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, because I really do think that this speaks to this topic, and it's a passage that my mind has kind of been drawn to as I've been thinking through these things, both as just a Christian and as someone who's in leadership, right? What do I want to be encouraging my people to focus on through these times, right? Because let's be honest, when it's at the forefront, right, everyone wants you to be outraged, right? One side or the other. If outrage isn't the response, then you don't care. That's kind of the going mantra. And it can be intoxicating, and it can be discouraging, depending on kind of where you fall in those things. But I think scripture really does provide us a really good reminder to keep in our minds as we are navigating these things. So as you go through today, maybe you listen to this on the 4th of July and you're thinking through all the same things I am, right? I don't necessarily want to tell you, hey, you should or shouldn't be involved in these things, because I think it is largely a matter of conscience. But I do believe scripture speaks to this, and this is what I want to encourage you guys with. So I'm going to read kind of what has been going through my mind the past couple weeks. That's out of 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9. This is what Peter reminds the church. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." And then he goes on to talking about the importance of being submissive to the authorities that God, in his sovereignty, has placed, and how we are to love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor, right? So some things that I take from this verse that I would want to encourage you is you don't see either of those ditches in here. You don't see Paul telling you to go whole hog all the way in and make your entire personality and your entire being about political reform. But you also don't see him saying abstain from these things completely, right? You do see him saying in here that you are called to honor the emperor. You're called to submit to the human institutions, as he calls it in the ESV translation, right? So we do have a duty as Christians. But what I really want to focus on, and we've talked about it on the Reformatory before, so it's not going to be anything new. But what I specifically want to focus on is that verse 11, where he says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul." Right? The truth of the matter is that this world, this country, the city that you're in, the small town that you may find yourself in, is not our home. We have been bought with a price. As Paul says earlier, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for his own possession. So when we are engaging with the culture, no matter what the circumstance or whatever the particular arena is, we should do so with the understanding and with the filter that we are engaging with this culture primarily not as citizens of America or citizens of our country or of our county or of our town or of our state, but primarily as citizens of heaven. And our decision making, our motives for making those decisions, the way that we view politics and I would say cultural, social affairs, civilian affairs, the way that we view those things should not be through the flesh, but should be through the identity of the Spirit. And it should be through the identity, not as someone who is trying to seek, the health of the nation purely through political means, but when we realize that it's only through the gospel that true change happens. It's only through Christ and his word that we see reform happen. Now, I do not think it's a bad thing to be patriotic. I think having patriotism is a good thing. I think being proud of the country that you live in and thankful for the men and women who have sacrificed their lives to provide this freedom that we enjoy in America here, I think that's good. I think in some ways that's very appropriate to do. But I also think that you can go too far and seek that freedom and the preservation of that freedom above all else. Because here's the thing, right? And we all know this. Christianity, the gospel, is not determined on the political freedoms that exist in the context, right? We look at communist China and the Middle East, where the church is oppressed and persecuted, and we see the gospel spreading like wildfire. We all know this. Now, does that mean that we should wish for persecution to happen in America? I'll be completely honest with you. I used to take that stance. I used to be the guy that was like, man, we need some good old-fashioned persecution to weed out the phonies and to purify the church. And look, here's the thing. That very well may happen. And if that is in God's sovereign plan, then the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? But I think part of being a sojourner and an exile in this land is is engaging with it through the lens of the gospel, and that means seeking the good of the people that are around you, primarily the good of their souls, not just socially, not just culturally, but spiritually. Because I truly believe the only thing that is going to bring change is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if it is in God's sovereign plan that America repents, turns away from its evil, and believes upon the gospel, then praise the Lord for that. Now, I personally, just because of perhaps the eschatology that I believe in and the way that I see trends going, I don't see that as a very probable outcome. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't pray for that. And that doesn't mean that I shouldn't hope for that, because I do believe that the gospel changes lives, not just spiritually, but practically. And I know this for me, and I know that you probably know this for you. So my encouragement is pretty simple, and it's not going to really be anything that you haven't heard on this podcast before. First, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by the culture's attempts to pull you, again, Pilgrim's Progress reference, off of the path, right? You're going through this Vanity Fair, and all the pop-up stands, they want your attention, they want your affections, they want your time, and they want your effort, and they want your love and commitment. All those things are primarily supposed to be for Christ, right? So let's not become distracted by the culture that we live in, right? Let's not assume that we as Christians should be primarily political in the way that we go about, you know, seeking the good of the country that we live in, right? I would also say this, don't be discouraged. I think it's very easy to look around in our culture and see the evil that's there and become discouraged. And I think that discouragement is often the motivation that a lot of people have to get involved very heavily with the political movements and the cultural movements and things like that. And I totally get it. I totally understand kind of where that discouragement would spur on fervency. But what I would encourage is, if you find yourself becoming discouraged when you look at the state of the country that we live in, and I'll admit, there's a lot to be discouraged about. There's a lot of evil that is in our world, and it does seem that the longer I live, the further this culture moves away from Scripture, the darker things become. And that's a discouraging thing. But we have to remember that no matter what happens to America, no matter what happens to the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and no matter who wins this election coming up, Christ is still on his throne. He still reigns as the supreme authority over all. His enemies have been crushed underneath his feet, and he holds this world, America, as the footstool for his feet. There is nobody that will thwart the plans of God. He is the one that controls the hearts of kings and emperors. And whoever comes into political office in, November? Or I guess the voting is November, January. Know this, it's going to be because the sovereign, almighty God of the universe desired that to happen for reasons that we may not understand. But there's great comfort in trusting in God's sovereignty when it comes to this country and when it comes to political things. So my encouragement to you is this, my friends. As we celebrate the freedom that we enjoy tomorrow, and we light off the fireworks, and we have good food, if those conversations start to pop up about the debates and elections and the political state of the country, and you find yourself starting to be discouraged, remember, you are a sojourner. You are an exile. Your citizenship is not of this world. It is a citizenship that has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in that far green country where you are heading toward, where your home rests, there is no evil. There's no sin. There's no trials. There's no death. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no evil whatsoever. It is completely and totally filled with the glory, the majesty, and the love of Christ. And if we remember that and remember that it is our Savior Jesus Christ that has bought and paid for us and has redeemed us, and that at the end of the age will redeem this world that we live in, there's great hope and encouragement that comes from remembering that. So don't get distracted with civilian affairs. Don't place your hope in men and chariots or in political policies. But also remember, do not be discouraged, because we are a people who serve a great king. We are a people who serve a conquering king, a king that is already on his throne, already reigning. And we don't need to fear. We don't need to be worried. We don't need to be a people that live in fear that our freedoms are going to be taken away, because the greatest freedom that you have comes from Christ. Man may kill the body, but God sustains the soul. So trust in Christ and let what he has done and the fact that you are a citizen of heaven, let that be such an encouragement to you when that discouragement flies in your face. And believe me, I am very prone to discouragement in the culture that we live in. But when I'm reminded of what Christ has done for me, and when I'm reminded of the truth that he reigns victoriously at this moment, and that I am in exile, no matter what happens here, my future is secure. My job as a Christian does not change. I am called to be a light to the people that I live with, whether I have freedom or not, whether I have freedom of speech or not, whether I have the amendments or not, whether I'm in America or the Middle East. My job as a Christian remains constant and the same, and that is to represent Christ to the best of my ability and point those around me to where they may receive life. And that's through the gospel. So be encouraged with that, friends. Don't let the social media and the debates and all the political stuff get you down. We are a people that have great hope, because our hope is not found in men. It's found in an everlasting, supreme ruler that loves us, cares for us, and provides for our every need, and beckons us home. So, be encouraged. Those are things that have kind of been running through my head over this past couple weeks. As you know, we all saw the debates, I'm sure, and the circus that they were, and 4th of July and all the conversations around that. My thoughts have been drawn to this passage in 1 Peter, and it has been a great encouragement to me, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. So I hope you're doing well. Like I said, enjoy the 4th. Blow some stuff up if you're able, right? Light some fireworks off. Enjoy some good barbecue. Hang out with friends and family, and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the freedoms that we have, and for his faithfulness, either in freedom or not. His faithfulness remains the same. So thank the Lord for that. So I hope this was encouraging to you guys. Again, sorry for the lack of episodes, but like I said, didn't want you to go 2 weeks without something on the podcast feed there. Our schedules are clearing up. I think we're back to normal next week. I think people are not going to be sick, and our schedules are where they need to be. We're going to be back to regularly scheduled programming. You're going to get your cigar reviews, all that stuff. I know Jack is chomping at the bit to give you guys those reviews. So we're looking forward to that. I hope you guys have an awesome week. Hope you're enjoying time with friends and family. Enjoy the long weekend. The Lord's Day is coming up. Make sure to gather with your people. Worship the Lord. And we will catch you next week on the Reformatory.